Before we got on to talking about what's new with Saratech, I asked Mike Calvo, CEO, if he would start by reminding listeners what actually is Freedom Box.
Freedom Box is a complete end-to-end solution that allows full on-the-go access to not only the internet and our online portal of thousands of pieces of content, but also full portable access to a PC. With the addition of our new System Access product, we have now brought computing to a whole new level that doesn't just work for newbies anymore. Freedom Box is really for everybody, and it offers something for everybody. We look at technology as a swimming pool, and much like a swimming pool where depending on your level of ability to swim, depends on where you jump into the swimming pool, it's kind of the same way with Freedom Box. Freedom Box provides something for the neophyte or the brand new computer user, and it provides a lot of things like access to RSS and portable accessibility to your account and access on a cell phone and things of that nature to folks that are members of the Freedom Box community and need access at a deeper part of the pool.
Can you summarize what the various flavors of Freedom Box are? You have a web interface which can be accessed using a Braille based PDA or I guess using a browser on a phone or that kind of thing. There's a software package, as I understand it, that you can get for your PC, whether that be Windows or Linux based. You can buy Freedom in a box. You can buy an actual Freedom Box with everything all ready to go. Are those the main sort of packages that you guys have available, or have I missed anything there?
Perfect. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Okay. Before we talk about what you guys have been doing since Birmingham, just remind people a little bit about the Freedom Box philosophy. Why would somebody want to access Amazon and the various services that you offer? And you mentioned that you have thousands of pieces of content. Some of that content is generally available anyway. What's the key advantage to accessing the Freedom Box network?
I think that first and foremost, we need to understand Freedom Box is what they call an internet portal and a content aggregator, which means we put the things that we consider to be of interest to our users all under one roof, all under one consistent interface. We do the same as a Yahoo or an AOL would do, where, you know, you can get the same kind of news all over the place that you would get if you were a Yahoo subscriber, an AOL subscriber, or what have you. It's just that we have our own particular way of packaging it that we find that with our users is very intuitive for them, it's very easy for them to understand, and most of all for us, it's totally accessible.
Okay, and you mentioned the issue of accessibility, and I guess that gets us into the philosophical question, and it's one that I often ask assistive technology people. Why is that approach preferable? Why shouldn't somebody be learning, regular Windows or regular Linux rather than using this interface? You mentioned that your interface is consistent across the board, which clearly that's, you know, once somebody's got that down, then they don't, you know, they don't have a learning curve. Why do you feel that that's the sort of the preferable approach to take?
Well, it's an interesting question because, and it is a philosophical one. We believe at Saratech that adaptive technology is and should be like a swimming pool. We believe that we've contributed to that in a great way because until Freedom Box was released 3 years ago, adaptive technology was simply several screen readers and several large print magnification programs that were extremely complicated to run and use. And if you didn't have the wherewithal time-wise, monetarily, and mentally, then if all those things being equal and getting it together weren't available to you for whatever reason, then you were not going to be able to take a swim in this pool, in this adaptive technology pool. And we believe that computers and what they bring to the life of a blind person in the way of giving them independence is a gotta have, not a wanna have. So what we strive to do is to provide an entry level to that swimming pool that would provide a blind person little to no experience to be able to get involved, get their feet wet, learn how to use the technology, and as they grow and they become more and more curious about how things work and their needs grow technologically, then they're encouraged through positive and continuous positive reinforcement by being able to accomplish things online to go further and go further. And we've seen that throughout the 3 years that Freedom Box has been in existence. We've seen that happen.
Now, we know that that training with technology can be very expensive. People can spend hundreds of dollars per day learning their way around Windows with a screen reader. And because Freedom Box has that consistent interface, the learning curve isn't as steep. So Freedom Box is a more affordable solution. I mean, what kind of figures are we talking for somebody wanting to access the Freedom Box system?
Well, that's the thing, is that, you know, a lot of folks are confused by our pricing models, because if you come to us and you have no computer, no nothing, but you want to get into this online experience, then we can sell you a computer. And that computer is a regular computer. It happens to be packaged in such a way that there's not really many wires to connect, and we call that our Freedom Box standalone or our Surfboard Enhanced. And what it is, it's a PC that's all in one. It's in the keyboard, and then you just plug it into the wall and plug it into your internet outlet, whether it be the phone or a cable outlet or what have you, and that's it. And you turn it on, and it gets you onto our network. However, if you have a home computer, or you've been able to get a hand-me-down computer, or you've gone to Walmart or Best Buy or wherever, and purchase a computer there for a couple $100s, you can then download our software for free. And that's the key word, is all of our software, including some of the exciting innovations I'll speak about in a minute, are free. We've really strived for the last 3 years to work on creating that free model. And all you do is simply pay a subscription fee monthly of $9.95 a month if you do have your own internet access, and $21.95 a month here in the U.S. if you do not, for access via telephone, you know, via a dial-up to our network. And all of the software that we give you is absolutely free. It's all included in that, and all updates to that software are included for that as well. So we have no cost for true ownership of the software.
And just so people really understand this, what are people getting for that $10 a month?
Access to over 4,000 radio stations, thousands of international news feeds from all over the world. I mean, we have news from just about any country on the planet that's providing news, weather information, chat services, forums. You have access to email, voice email, text email. You have access to, like I said, 4,000 radio stations, about 1,200 different podcasts that we just added, an RSS reader, for those of you who know what that is, MSN and AOL messaging, our own client for that. So we have quite a bit of information that we provide, and accessible services that we provide.
And that's all through this consistent interface.
That's correct, in various flavors. Now, as you start, when you start with what we call our Freedom Box Classic interface, you're not going to get all of those things, because obviously there's not a consistent way of doing text messaging, for example. We don't do dictation, but those of your listeners that have dealt with Freedom Box Classic or version 1 have heard both the demos on our website and on this very program of how you talk to the system and it talks back to you. Now, as you get more and more comfortable with learning the keyboard and how it works, then we move you into a deeper end or a middle part of the pool, where we then introduce you to concepts like external web pages from our network that are not necessarily on the network, concepts like third-party email accounts and things of that nature, and instant messaging, things that perhaps to somebody who just kind of wants to get involved and check the news and send some email, it may not be of interest to them, so they can really part and parcel their internet experience and really learn it as they need to, or as they find the desire to, and it's something that they don't have to do to have, at least at their level of intuitiveness, a full internet experience.
Essentially, anybody can go to, as you mentioned earlier, go to one of the high street stores or even go to a computer fair, pick up a PC, and for $10 a month, essentially, $21 if they need you guys to provide them with internet access, they can get access to all this information, and it's audio, it's accessible, it's a consistent interface. So, you know, my grandmother could use this.
Absolutely. And one of the other things that we provide that's very exciting to us is access to described videos. Now, we don't allow people to download these videos to their machine. We do allow them to stream them, very similar to borrowing it from a public library where you would be able to listen to this audio. And, of course, we don't provide the video. If you want to enjoy it with your family, of course, with them watching the video and you listening to the audio, we do encourage you to purchase those videos from the offering, the entities that offer them. However, for personal listening, as much like we would get from the National Talking Book Library here or you would get from the RNIB there, you know, we provide the described videos, and that's something that a lot of our international users really enjoy, because a lot of the movies that get made just don't make it out of here over there. So we have a lot of international users that are able to enjoy entertainment, able to enjoy information that's available here, and that without Freedom Box, they really wouldn't have access to this stuff.
Let's talk about what's new then. You mentioned Freedom Box Classic, the version 1. We talked to you when the version 2 of Freedom Box came along.
We're actually up to version 2.2 on the software, on the Freedom Box browser for Windows and Linux. We're about to release those. We're about to release version 2.2 for CSUN, which is in March. But we also released a brand new product, Dave, in January, and that's called System Access. And what System Access, I guess the question it raises is, much like, do you need all this knowledge to get online, we've raised the question of, do you really need a screen reader? And that is a very interesting, again, philosophical question, because the question is, do you need a screen reader with all of its bells and whistles, all of the possibilities that you can do, thusly bringing in more confusion, or do you need a screen reader that can access A, the operating system, B, the audio programs that you want to use, C, the internet and email programs you want to use, and D, the office programs, for example, Microsoft Office, Outlook, perhaps look at a spreadsheet from time to time, perhaps look at a PowerPoint presentation from time to time. Do you need that, or do you need a full-blown screen reader with all of its bells and whistles, and of course its large price tag, and what I consider to be, in certain cases, an extortionist way of handling upgrade policies and maintenance agreements for those who have not upgraded for a couple of years and are then have their money basically are penalized for not doing so.
So you've got this new product then. Tell us about that, and then perhaps we'll talk about what's new in version 2.2 of Freedom Box.
Oh, I mean, System Access came about because really, you know, frankly, I got tired of seeing it cost a person $1,000 to make a $300 computer talk. And then if you managed to actually get your $300 or $400 together to update your Pentium 2 or 3 machine that was running Windows 98, and you finally got up to XP, now the screen reader companies penalize you by charging you $300 or $400 if you haven't upgraded for a few years just to be able to get your system back up to snuff. That is just wrong. It's extortionist, and we found it to be quite destructive to us as a community. We are not here to serve as a government provider of adaptive technology for this community. We are here to empower consumers to make their own decisions and to allow them to be able to afford these technologies by themselves. A lot of us have just kind of thrown up our hands in the past in disgust and said, heck, I can't afford this. I got to have the government buy it, and if the government can't buy it for me, then I've got to do without. And that has created a serious problem in our community by having a group of haves and have-nots. And really, as I said at the beginning, you know, accessibility to the internet and to the computer is a gotta have and not a wanna have. can. So the answer to that was System Access. It was a program that we developed that, again, it runs in your computer. If you have an active Freedom Box account, it is installed onto your Windows XP or 2000 machine absolutely free. And as long as you maintain a Freedom Box account, you're going to, that's $9.95 a month, you're going to have not only access to all of the content, but you're also going to have access to this System Access, which it's a screen reader, but we don't like to call it a screen reader simply because we don't want to bring to mind the JAWS for Windows or the WindowEyes models with scripts and set files. It doesn't work that way. System Access has very few keystrokes to learn. I think there's about 12 keystrokes in the entire program. They're consistent across the board. It's very reminiscent of an old program called ASAP for DOS, which those of you listeners that remember that, it's just a program that worked on an older operating system called DOS. The cool thing about this program is you would just plug it in and it would work. It would just talk and you would just run programs and learn to run them as anybody else would learn to run them. And the system and the adaptive technology wouldn't be in your way. It would just talk. Well, that's what System Access does. With very little user interaction, it just talks. If you're reading an email, it starts to read the email automatically. And then if you want to move around the email, you can use your arrow keys and move around, but you don't have to. You don't have to start it and stop it and this kind of thing and that kind of thing. If you want to move around your screen, you just use Windows shortcut keys. You don't need to go into a review mode or of any kind, things of that nature. So it really is kind of redefining the way that people access their systems, thusly the name System Access. And best of all, when you put this System Access together with our Passkey product, which we introduced at the conferences, which is the little credit card size CD that fits in your wallet, then it really becomes exciting because we do the one thing that no screen reader on the planet Earth can do, and that is we are portable. You can carry your System Access disk in your pocket, and any computer you walk up to anywhere on the planet that is running Windows XP or 2000, you can drop your disk into it. It will automatically start up, and it will immediately run our software. And whether you are on that account and on that system as a whether you're on that system as an administrator or as a guest, you're going to have access without installing any software, without dealing with software chaining, without dealing with video chaining or anything else like that.
Where's the cutoff point? Where does someone stop using System Access and actually go back into the Freedom Box software? Wouldn't use System Access to access the web, presumably?
The interesting thing is that, yes, you can use System Access to use Internet Explorer. You can use it to access Outlook Express. However, due to the fact that we provide web browsing in Freedom Box under the Mozilla browser, which I think that not only us, but a lot of people believe that the Mozilla browsers are much more powerful, they're quicker, they're less security hole prone than the Internet line of, and than the Microsoft line of products for Internet browsing. We provide quite a few other services, but we don't tie you to having to use it. If you want to use Internet Explorer with our product, hey, go right ahead. You are going to miss out on some things like Seesaw, which is community-supported accessible web, which we've discussed before, which allows you to label websites from the client side and have those templates available anytime. So it makes websites more accessible. And there's actually a demo on our website at this time that you can listen to. You can go right up onto www.freedombox.info and listen to a complete demo of the product, and it will demonstrate how using Internet Explorer with System Access is possible, but browsing the net with Freedom Box, the browser, is still a better experience across the board.
Let's talk about this in a kind of a business context. Clearly, the screen reader manufacturers that we all are familiar with feel that you know, the amount of R&D that they put in, that's why they have to charge these prices that are prohibitive to many, bearing in mind that it's a small market, etc. And those are often the reasons that are put forward for the high costs of assistive technologies. what you're doing with System Access is you're selling it to them for $10 a month. It's available if they subscribe to the Freedom Box network. So rather than an outright purchase, this is an ongoing subscription. So you don't feel that you have an immediate need to recoup your R&D. You're quite happy for that to happen over a longer period of time.
Well, first of all, I'm really tired of hearing that from the screen reader manufacturers. I don't mean to be controversial about it, but I think that as a member of this community, it's time that somebody came out and called a spade a spade. At one point, there was a heck of a lot of R&D that went into it. And don't get me wrong, I would not be able to work today were it not for JAWS for Windows or WindowEyes paving the way and folks like Hal. I think that all of those products deserve an enormous amount of gratitude on our behalf. However, the fact of the matter is that I am not a multi-billion-dollar company or even a multi-million-dollar company. So the fact is, if it costs so much to put a screen reader together, and if it costs so much to make a screen reader work, then how in the heck am I able to do it for $10 a month and still sustain a business model? How is that possible? It makes you kind of wonder, because it just doesn't cost that, Dave. It's that simple. It doesn't cost millions of dollars. It doesn't cost hundreds of thousands of dollars in research and development to put a screen reader together anymore. I'm sorry, but that's just a lie. It's not true. And I challenge any screen reader manufacturer to dispute me publicly about it, because it's not true.
Okay. So let's talk about System Access then. This is a software program that people, when they're paying their $10 a month, they can get from your website, install on their Windows 2000 or Windows XP machine, and this will read all your basic applications is essentially what you're saying. It'll get you around Windows, it'll get you around Windows Explorer, it'll get you around Microsoft Office, and you even mentioned Internet Explorer. Is that correct?
Sure. And if you're a computer technician using our Freedom Box passkey, which is available for a nominal fee, you can actually take that and walk up to any computer on the road and actually repair it, whether it be at a colleague's desk or on the road repairing a computer for someone. So it's not only that it's flexible for people at home, but it's also flexible for people on the road.
The standard screen readers that we're familiar with, you mentioned HAL from Dolphin, and obviously WindowEyes and JAWS, and there are a few others floating around. A lot of these products rely on configuration files, set files, script files, map files, in order to work with the various applications. How have you dealt with that problem?
We script the programs, or we program in the way that it's supposed to work, working with the program's current keyboard accessible keys and keyboard accessibility and things of that nature, provide a minimal amount of a necessary amount of review commands as far as arrowing around the screen. I mean, when you're in a Word document, you need to arrow around the screen. But if you're sitting somewhere else, if you're in Outlook Express, for example, you don't need to have a key to hit the toolbar. I mean, what you need to do is available generally through the menus. MSAA is used there. There's screen scraping that takes place. The only thing we do not use is video chaining. And again, because we believe that video chaining is not necessary for the level of access that we provide. I am not saying that System Access is a 100% replacement for any of these products, Dave. I am simply saying that the question bears to be asked of each and every person that decides to use adaptive technology: do you need a screen reader? You know, if you work 2 miles from your home or a mile and a half away from your home, do you necessarily need to go out and purchase a car to get there? You know, when a skateboard or a bicycle or walking will do, or a bus will do, and it's just another option for people.
In terms of compatibility, System Access, does that work with all flavors of Office? You mentioned video chaining and the fact that you don't use it, that you use MSAA and you use screen scraping. Does that pose any compatibility issues? And I guess the other compatibility question which comes to mind is, what sort of specification of machine does somebody need in order to use System Access?
when it comes to Office, Office has implemented an object model ever since way back, and we support the Office object model from 2000 XP or 2002 and Office 2003, and we expect to support it in versions to come. So we have support. We have support for Microsoft Word. Not 100% full support, for example, like you'll find in the major screen readers right now. We provide a very good level of support, though, that unless you're out there doing, you know, documents that require strike through and boldening and, you know, and serious highlighting of text and italicized this and all of that, then you're going to really use system access and never really experience a lack for functionality in Word. In Outlook, we support the calendar. We support the notes. We support the actual email function. So we support a great deal of Outlook as well. In when it comes to Excel and when it comes to PowerPoint, we allow you to preview those documents. We don't allow you, we don't inhibit you from editing them, but we don't allow document creation or PowerPoint presentation creation. We don't support those at this time. That doesn't mean that we will not do it in the future, but at this point, you know, we needed to start somewhere. So accessibility for these programs is only going to get better, and as our user base broadens, you know, I request things, then we're going to do it. We frankly, and we've been very public about it, you know, people come and say, well, we're going to, you know, buy your product when it supports this, and we'll buy your product when it supports that. Well, frankly, we're not interested. We're interested in supporting our current users, and as they get on and they request things, if our majority of our user base requests it, then we're going to add it. And if we add something that you happen to like and it meets your set of needs, then great, fantastic. Fantastic. But we're not going to go chasing every program that people ask us to support just in case they might buy.
And in terms of the resources that the software needs to run, do you need to have a particular specification of machine?
I saw a machine at Walmart the other day, which was $199, and it was a 1.5 gigahertz Celeron processor. 1.5 gigahertz for $199. You can go to the Walmart website and check it out. Okay, and that'll run just fine. As a matter of fact, it'll run on a P3, you know, 400 megahertz product as well. The only thing that we do demand is Windows XP and at least 128 megs of RAM, because if not, you're going to have some serious problems. And I really don't believe that with the money you're saving and not having to necessarily buy a screen reader, at least not right away, you're not going to be able to afford to buy yourself at least a $200 computer.
Okay, so you acknowledge that that your screen access, your system access software, you acknowledge that it doesn't have some of the advanced functionality that perhaps some of the $1,000 screen readers have, but what you are saying in essence is that, look guys, for the vast majority of people, you can get by with a solution that's only going to cost you $10 a month.
Well, I mean, the bottom line is, how many people in society drive a Lexus? You know, a Lexus and a Hyundai will get you there. They're both multi-million dollar companies, if not multi-billion dollar companies, with lots of users. But the fact of the matter is that I bet you there's a whole lot more Hyundai owners than there are Lexus owners.
Okay. And people can learn more about system access from your website, and we'll do the contact details at the end. Also, in the last 9 months, you've been working on version 2.2 of FreedomBox. I'm sure I've moved on to FreedomBox. I'm sure there are many more things I could ask you about in terms of system access, but you know, maybe we could do a whole show on that 1 week. But let's talk about FreedomBox. It's clearly the brand that Zerotech is most noted for. Version 2.2. What's new? Why should people upgrade?
First of all, we've introduced in the network across the board with the innovation of system access and other things. We've really started gaining a lot of international visibility. And we've also added some distributors in various parts of the country here, and we're actively seeking distribution and dealers in other countries. To that end, we've added a lot more dynamic news and weather content and things of that nature. We've also, for those folks who are familiar with RSS or really simple syndication, we've included an RSS reader that both will handle news and will handle blogs and things of that nature. We've incorporated the Freedom Box newspaper, so you can aggregate your own news feeds, put them together on a newspaper that you can pull up at a keystroke, and if you have particular things of interest that you want to share with the rest of the community, you can even make some of your news choices public so that other people can see them and perhaps be interested. We not only do we give you dedicated news feeds, for example, but you can actually do searches on weird things. If you like to know what's going on with spotted hippopotamuses, you know, you could do a search term on spotted hippopotamus, and anytime spotted hippopotamus will come up anywhere in our thousands of news categories or news sources, you'll get it right on the spot. The system is constantly updating itself, so it's always available. We've added the ability to our network to work with podcasting. Podcasting is a very new, exciting thing that allows just individuals or amateurs to actually create what are called podcasts or small radio type broadcasts that people can download and listen to on their computers or on their portable MP3 devices. Kind of the homegrown radio type of sound. We in 2.2 you're going to see CD burning and CD ripping available on both Windows and Linux platforms. You're going to see file sharing available in the Windows in our environment, and I believe that that's going to be great for folks to be able to share documents and things of that nature. So there's many cool things coming down the pike. People are going to be able to share their stream their audio libraries to one another. There's going to be a Freedom Box blogging feature, which will allow you to do text blogging and audio blogging. So we've got quite a few more community type things that are being put into version 2.2 along with the CD burning.
So we're moving much beyond now straightforward email and web browsing and that sort of thing. We talked about blogging just a couple of weeks ago on my menu, and in the past a year or two ago we looked at LiveJournal. It seems to be all the rage at the moment. You mentioned news aggregation and RSS. There have been in the development of RSS a number of debates and arguments about standards. Somebody once said one of the great things about standards is there are so many of them. You've got RSS version 1 and RSS version 2 and Atom. Have you guys run into any of that? Do you support all those standards?
Yes, we do. We support all of those. We also support straight XML. We support OPML, I think it is, for the listings. And now, of course, we're supporting RSS with the extensions for podcasting, which include actual links to MP3 files. So with that in combination with the way that our browser just works with web pages, you can really, really gain a lot out of listening, out of using Freedom Box to access your RSS feeds, your news content. Unlike other solutions, we jump right to the meat of the content immediately using a proprietary technology that we've developed for doing so. There's quite a few advantages of just being able to zip right through and get at your information. One of the things that I want to see coming in the near future, it may very well, I don't think it'll make it into this, but the ability to download your newspaper in the morning to your book courier or bookport or what have you, and it's something that we've certainly proposed, and if it's something that our users demand, then we will provide it.
Let's talk a little bit about podcasting. It's kind of getting off the beaten track a little bit, but it's something that we haven't really covered on the program previously, and you're absolutely right to say that podcasting is a new and exciting technology, and it's really a name for radio on demand, I guess you could describe it. Do you want to just give us a brief overview of what podcasting is?
Well, we're amongst family here. So, you know, when you're dealing with a bunch of blind folks, how many of us didn't grow up wanting to be a DJ? How many of us didn't grow up wanting to be on the radio? Well, shoot, here's your opportunity. I mean, here, for a very minimal amount of money, in many cases, no money, you're going to be able to create a homegrown radio program using your computer. And in version 2.2, we're going to provide you some tools to be able to do that as well, so you can create your own little podcast or your own audio blog. And you can post it up on the internet and let other people come and listen. And I've seen some of the most bizarre subjects on podcasts and some of the worst people doing podcasts, and but other people get a kick out of them. You know, one man's trash is another man's treasure, Dave, and everybody, you know, just because it doesn't have mass appeal to the masses doesn't mean it doesn't have appeal to someone. And I think that the internet has really brought that home by creating these little pockets of podcasters that have really, you know, gone off the beaten path and created these broadcasts that have this cult, religious cult following almost, that is just, it's amazing to me. And as the community of blind people, I think that this is a great opportunity for us to communicate, for us to have our voices heard, for us to have our opinions. And one thing I've said for years and years is that behind this computer, as a member of this blind community, I am both an individual and a part of a collective force that has changed the face of technology. And I think that this program in particular has had a great deal to do with that. I commend ACB for its involvement in the internet, and the founders of this radio station and of other ACB online things, you know, endeavors. I mean, it's incredible how ACB has been able to really leverage the power of that community, and I think that podcasting is just another natural progression, especially even for us as a blind community to get involved in and to use to communicate with one another.
Yeah, and if people need a full definition, then they might like to take a look at something like Wikipedia for a full sort of technical description of how podcasting works. But in short, essentially, my understanding is that it's a way of distributing audio via the web that's akin to sort of radio on demand. Okay, let's try and wrap up a bit then, Mike. Thanks very much for your time. We've talked about system access, and that's something that perhaps people will want to explore in a little more detail. We've talked about what's new in FreedomVox 2.2. Quite a lot of things going on there. So obviously you guys have been pretty busy over the last few months. Is that pretty much it for now?
Pretty much it. As far as, by the way, there's one thing that we didn't go over, I guess. There's two things. First of all, as far as podcasting, right on the FreedomVox network at www.freedomvox.info, you can sign up for a free trial for 30 days. And those of you that have had a trial within the last 6 months, anything prior to that, you're welcome. People are welcome to get two FreedomVox trials per year, one every 6 months, and see if you like it. And we know that sooner or later we're going to give you something that you like and that's going to convince you to stay. We have one of the lowest churn rates or customer churn rates on the internet. Right there on our network, we have a full line of information about podcasting, podcasting 101. What is a podcast? How do you create one? How do you get involved in this brand new phenomenon? The other thing is our cost for system access. System access has no cost. As always, there's a cost for our portable media, which is the FreedomVox Passkey, which is the credit card size CD. And with system access, that cost is $299. Without system access, it's simply $99. And there's more explanation about that on our website or by calling 866-202-0520. That's 866-202-0520. 1-800-520-5520, and that toll-free number does work from the United States. It works from Canada, and it works from Europe as well. We get calls from Europe all the time.
Okay, Mike Calvo from Ceratec. Interesting stuff, and it's been great having you on the program again, and I'm sure we'll hear from you very soon. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me, Dave.